new and noteworthy, but not that new and noteworthy, on this week's Always Listening. Welcome to Always Listening. We're your hosts. I'm Joel.
I'm Jay. I'm all in on Baby Yoda.
Oh, I think everybody's in on Baby Yoda. I've seen more. And by the way, there was a moment apparently last week where Disney decided to shut down the massive proliferation of GIFs of Baby Yoda across the internet because of copyright violations, and then very quickly reversed that decision and said, no, it was a misunderstanding. And Jiffy has restored all of the GIFs created for Baby Yoda. Please continue your memification. It's like, I mean, there can be some argument about the way that they rolled this service out. Obviously, we're talking about The Mandalorian, the show on Disney Plus, which we've referenced. As a matter of fact, last week we had a post-show discussion, or was that two weeks ago? We had a post-show discussion of the first couple of episodes of The Mandalorian and what we thought of the series so far. Go back and listen to that if you want. But,
and I have no problem spoiling Baby Yoda at this point, if you don't
Disney has posted images themselves. They've made it clear that it's okay to talk about that version. That aspect of it anyway, that character exists. But my thing is, you know, there's a lot of consternation from people online about the fact that the way they rolled this out, you know, the service is not worldwide, and therefore there are a lot of people around the world that can't legally watch this show yet. So they're leaving themselves open either to frustration because they're having the show spoiled for them, or piracy, right? I mean, obviously, you know, these folks might pick up that episode of The Mandalorian off the back of a truck somewhere. As
Star Wars people will too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's what I'm hearing from, especially people like in the UK. In the UK, it's not going to be available until March. That's too long. But on the flip side, I will say, in the meantime, the memification of Baby Yoda, the fact that like literally every meme you've ever imagined is being Mandalorian, I think that is going to continue this like general hum of interest in the series. And mean by the time we get to March, those people, the ones that haven't pirated it already, will be excited to get it, and then they'll be on board and excited about all the Disney Plus stuff that we're watching
again
too.
Again, my biggest problem with Baby Yoda is, A, he's 50 years old, so he should be talking at this point. B, they seem to forget that he's either Baby Yoda or he's 50 years old, because there's a scene in the latest episode, and I won't spoil the episode, but there's this one scene where Baby Yoda shows up, and they turn and look at him, and he sips his tea like Kermit the Frog. And it's like, Baby Yoda is not doing that. That's 50-year-old Yoda doing that, not Baby Yoda.
So I think the size of the creature and the fact that when we first saw the creature, it was in effectively a bassinet, made us all think baby. This has never been baby, I don't think. It was really more like toddler Yoda.
Yoda's not sipping out of his cup.
No, my toddlers are absolutely doing things like that, or they were when they were toddlers. They're not toddlers anymore. But think like little Groot, you know, little mischievous Groot, from Guardians 2, where he's like, "I am Groot," trying to push the detonation button over and over again. I am Groot. I am Groot.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably.
And here's the other thing too. I was poking around in the canon, like the Wikipedia or whatever it is, their informational download. The Yoda species, one of the few things that we know about the Yoda species that is still in canon, they have two brains. Uh-oh. They have a low level brain that's effectively like a reptilian brain that's like all of your like necessities and all of your like life functions, and then they have a high level brain, a wisdom brain that grows more slowly over the course of their life. So that might account for like the slow speech patterns, even though he's able to effectively care for himself, like, you know, walk around, get around, feed himself, et cetera, et cetera. I think he could do all of those things even if he was on his own. What he couldn't do is maybe speak or exist in society, I guess, yet.
And by the way, it's fine that Baby Yoda can walk, but wouldn't it be, even from just a production standpoint, make more sense to have him float around in what is essentially the bassinet, even as fully grown Yoda? I would imagine fully grown Yoda would be like, dude, hook me up with the hovercraft so I don't have to walk around because it takes me about a half an hour to get from one end of the house to the other.
So here's what's funny. Actually, I'm watching Attack of the Clones right now. In fact, I was watching some of it this morning. And episode 2, Attack of the Clones, features a floating pod that Yoda sits in. It's like a meditation-style chair. He crosses his legs and he's sitting there. And you show him a couple of times in the hallways of the Jedi Temple floating around with Mace Windu and Obi-Wan and other Jedi. And he's like at eye height with them this way. And he can move as fast as they can as they walk down the hallways, et cetera, et cetera. Apparently, he had a similar pod that he used when he went into battle sometimes, too, with the droids.
All right, so I don't know why we got rid of said basket. It's not like he's outgrown it. It's not like he will outgrow it.
Bad guys had thrown it away. They had already trashed it before the Mandalorian. Oh, now see, now we're spoiling. We got to talk about podcasts, Jay. We were talking about new and noteworthy, and the Mandalorian is, It's new and noteworthy. You're right. All right. We've got some good news for all of you, though. Some interesting articles from Apple and from Spotify. We're going to be talking about some stuff from Pod News. We've got our sponsor, of course, Sleep With Me Podcast. And then some stuff from Pandora. A really interesting article that popped into my radar just this morning that I want to talk about as we wrap things up too. So let's get into it, Jay, and let's get started. Apple has released their top listened to podcasts of 2019. Now, this is not their editorial list, right? This is just literally the downloads list. This is who listened to the most podcasts or what podcasts were listened to the most. This is that list.
So you can get the editorial list. I decided to share with you the actual most listened to list with you, but it is available there on the Apple Podcast if you want to get a peek and know what other people are going to find out in an event. In any case, here's one of the things. This is another thing that annoys me, Joel. All right. Because Thanksgiving is the last Thursday of November, and because of the way that the calendar fell, Thanksgiving ended up being about a week later than it typically is. Everybody's all like, oh my god, we only have 3 weeks until Christmas. Oh, we gotta release all this stuff early. Oh, we gotta do it. Hello? It's literally seven. It's not even 7 days. It's less than. You're not that much closer to where Thanksgiving normally falls to where it happened to fall this particular year. And next year, it's even worse. So, people, relax, okay? We didn't need to start Christmas 3 weeks before Thanksgiving, because I saw that. Oh, the real Black Friday started 3 weeks before Thanksgiving because we have 1 week less of the shopping period. Come on! Anyway, I feel like these lists are out way too early, right? 2019 still has an entire month, Joel. There's an entire 25 more days.
I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it. Especially, I will say this, especially as an independent entrepreneur. You know, I work for myself now. I work from home. And I find that really business begins to shut down the week before Thanksgiving. And frankly, my clients, even solo entrepreneurs, but definitely the corporates, the businesses and the brands, the actual groups that I'm working with, those folks are shutting down. They're not thinking anymore about 2019. They are already making plans for 2020, and they are also heavily into vacation mode. They're in the office less. When they're in the office, they're distracted or they're just catching up on whatever had to be done last week. I honestly, there's a lot of podcast planning and prognostication that goes on in December. A lot of people contact me and say, I want to launch a show next year. What's it going to cost me? But I don't have my experience, the 4 years that I've been doing this, I don't have a lot of production going on in December. I think that's fair, actually, all right, to put your lists out at the beginning of December.
Well, in any case, the list is out. This is the most listened to shows according to Apple, on the Apple platform, let's put it that way, better way to put it, the most listened to shows on the Apple platform in the podcasting category, and the top 10 goes like this. The Joe Rogan Experience, The Daily, Stuff You Should Know, The Dave Ramsey Show, The Ben Shapiro Show, TED Talks Daily, My Favorite Murder, Fresh Air, Planet Money, Up First. What do all those shows have in common, Joel?
They're all big, popular national shows from big brands. The two, you and I were talking before we got to record, the two in that first 10 that you could make any sort of argument are independent shows, I would say. Well, actually, I don't know about the Exactly Right Network, the My Favorite Murder people. I don't know if that's a large group or not. But you could make an argument that Ben Shapiro is an independent, even though he's working with the Daily Wire. But you could make an argument that that's
he's on radio. He was syndicated nationally on radio.
Oh, no, I agree. It's not a real independent. But I'm saying you could say that's him and all on his own, kind of like Joe does. And the Dave Ramsey Show. I guess you could make that argument, too.
Also Joe, syndicated nationally before he started podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. And Joe was a famous actor before he ever started his podcast as well. And a famous commentator for his UFC stuff. You know, so all of these people, all of these shows either come from giant brands or they're independents who have launched their businesses from their background with giant brands. And Jay, it doesn't stop there. If you go down the rest of the list, okay, again, like the next sort of independent, you could say Pod Save America from Crooked Media, they went independent. It's like three guys that started.
You skip Barstool Sports.
I don't think about them as independent either. That's a media company. That's a big media company.
But they started from nothing. They were a little website in Boston.
Yeah, sure. But it's an institution now. I feel like
But I would dare say out of all of these, the only true independent is Barstool and Crooked Media. Those were the two only true independents out of all of these that started.
So, I mean, like Stuff You Should Know and Stuff You Missed in History Class were Once Upon a Time, but they've been bought by iHeart for several years now. So they're part of a giant media conglomerate as well. And then if you go down the list, there's people like, you know, Bill Simmons and The Ringer. Okay, so you could make the argument that The Ringer is an independent organization. But again, the only reason Bill Simmons has a platform at all is because of his history at ESPN. He was the most famous, you know, commentator at ESPN after maybe Dan Patrick, who also went out on his own with his own, you know, media network. So, I mean, I guess this goes back to what we said last week, Jay, about the 1% of podcasts being responsible for 80% of downloads. If this is the list of 2019's most popular shows overall, the most downloaded shows, then that shows us that the rich are getting richer. However, just as we said last week, to me, that just means we need to ride on the coattails, so to speak. We need to be excited that we're in the same marketplace as these folks, that we can be found alongside these shows. We need to see where we can connect closer and better ways to their audiences and drift, so to speak. You know, like you do on the highway, you get behind the big 18-wheeler and you save yourself some gas mileage. How can we drift behind the Dave Ramseys and the Joe Rogans of the world? I guess that's my question. Boy, by the way, I'm not going to tell you who. There's there's two shows on this list that I hate, like with a capital H. I'm not going to tell you who.
I'm going to guess Ben Shapiro. You know Ben Shapiro for sure. And then Oprah. And it's going to be Oprah because everyone hates Oprah. By the way, the one name on this list that we totally missed as an independent is Gary Vaynerchuk. He came out of nowhere.
Gary Vee started with a pile of his daddy's money he did. Let's be honest. Like, he didn't start from nowhere. Is he a business guru? Sure, absolutely. He's not a podcasting guru. He was famous for other things.
But his show is among the top 16. The top 24.
I agree. Absolutely. But just like I would not go to Joe Rogan for podcast experience. I wouldn't go to Ben Shapiro.
Would you go to Joe Rogan's either? Would you go to Joe Rogan's producer?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I would. I'd go to his team. I'd talk to his team. Absolutely. And here's the other thing too. there are so many things that we can't take away or can't use from what they know and what their experiences are because we don't have the celebrity, we don't have the platform to start with. But there are many things that they've done to optimize their show, to optimize the promotion, et cetera, that we could learn from. All of these shows, honestly, we could go to their teams. But my point is that the host isn't doing that. Colin Cowherd isn't promoting his podcast. You know what I mean? Like Bill Simmons isn't promoting his podcast. Not really. He comes in and he does the show. And then he's got a team that does everything else. You and I don't have that luxury.
You're right. As a matter of fact, you're 100% correct. All of these shows in the top 25 all have a team. That's another very important thing to note. They are big enough where the host is not doing everything on their particular show. The closest, again, the closest to having done that was Pod Save America. And I know this because I had a conversation with those gentlemen a few years back, and I didn't understand what the conversation was about. I was trying to sell them as they were trying to sell me, and I didn't realize that was what was going on until it was too late. Imagine how different my life would be if I had realized what that conversation actually was.
Not for nothing, but you and me both, Pally. it's honestly, in the beginning, those guys saw the medium and the opportunity, and they saw what they were capable of doing in a very quick period of time through Ringer. And they were like, okay, we need to do this on our own so that we own the widget instead of shipping off 60% of it to Bill Simmons. We love Bill, no offense, but we should own this thing ourselves. How do we do that? We don't know how to podcast. They still don't know how to podcast, I would imagine. What they know how to do is commentate, you know, sit in front of mics and you know, condense the news and their opinions on it into an interesting and entertaining format. This is a pretty good list. If you want to know what the average podcast listener is interested in, I think that is what we can take away from this list. What is the psychographic of a mainstream podcast audience? And you can see that it is very varied because you do have Ben Shapiro and you do have Pod Save America like right next to each other there, right? So how do you square that circle? Well, it shows you that it's a great big camp. The podcast listeners, and they have diverse interests, but you can take away a lot of things. We're interested in great storytelling. We're interested in high production. We're interested in compelling individuals who have a point of view, right? That's another thing you can say about Joe Rogan, Dave Ramsey, Ben Shapiro, Dan Lebatard, Bill Simmons, Gary Vee, Colin Cowherd. All of those people have a very specific point of view that they don't mind sharing with you.
There's definitely a lot of news podcasts in this particular list. Here's what really grabs me. This is the Jay is Angry episode. There are two true crime podcasts in here, right? If I'm not mistaken, My Favorite Murder and Crime Junkie.
Yeah.
There are four sports podcasts. You want to know what category never gets its due, Joel? Sports. And it dominates. There are four sports podcasts in the top 25 of Apple, and yet everyone only talks about the true crime podcasters. Where's the love for the sports podcasts?
You guys were here. Well, I mean, nobody talks about the tech shows anymore either, right? Like, we talked about those once upon a time. Comedy came in first and overcame both of us, and then now true crime has come in and overwhelmed the whole.
I would love to compare this list to, say, the list from, like, the early days, because there's no Adam Carolla, there's no Chris Hardwick, there's no Mark Maron. I mean, these guys were ginormous back in the day.
Another company put out a list of the tops of 2019 as well. We're talking about Spotify, of course. Spotify, and the link for both of these, by the way, is in the show notes. This year was a big one for podcast growth on Spotify. There are now more than 500,000 podcast titles available. interesting to compare that number to the over 750,000 that we know about in Apple, but also to compare it to the, what's the number that Daniel quotes on a regular basis, Daniel J. Lewis, the quote unquote active shows around 225,000, right? So interesting that Spotify is all the way up to 500K. The podcast audience has grown by more than 50% since the start of the year. We've also seen a 39% increase in podcast hours consumed by listeners quarter over quarter. So those numbers aren't exactly apples to apples there. 50% growth since the start of the year in total audience, 39% increase in hours consumed for podcasts quarter over quarter. They don't say that that 39% was consistent for multiple quarters in a row, but at least over the last quarter, it's grown 40%. That is very, very good to hear.
It's good to hear, but remember what we've said about these numbers before, Joel. If they're using percentages, it's because the percentage number is a lot nicer to hear than the actual number.
Yeah, fair enough. The most tuned in shows are the Spotify original, the Joe Budden podcast with Rory and Mal, followed by My Favorite Murder with Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstack, and Germany's Gemischtes Hack, I'm going to guess at that. Mm. The most streamed podcast genre of 2019 was comedy, showing that laughter is truly universal. I'm not surprised that the number one show is a Spotify original. You and I talked about that. It only makes sense that the shows that you have to go to Spotify for would have the most overall audience, because not only are they going to get the listener, the new listener to podcast that Spotify keeps talking about, somebody who's never tried podcasting before, going to try it on their outlet for the first time, but also people like you and me who listen somewhere else might be drawn over to the Spotify app to specifically listen to a Spotify exclusive show. So that makes sense to me. It's just like, what's the most popular programming on HBO? It's not the new movie that they got that they're streaming on Saturday nights, right? It's Game of Thrones. It's Deadwood. It's, you know, whatever. A HBO original. Watchmen. That's what I was right. What am I watching on HBO right now? The Watchmen. There we go.
By the way, I stopped watching The Watchmen because I wasn't into it. But yeah.
Oh.
Tell me it got better.
I didn't think it started bad, so I'm maybe not the best answer there. Here's the interesting thing to me, and I'll just say this about the Watchmen TV series very quickly. The book, for people who read it, was really a look at right-wing fascism in America. That was what it was a take on. This TV series, to me, seems to be a look at left-wing fascism in America and what that might could be as an alternative. It seems like a very interesting companion piece. It seems challenging in all the ways that the original book was challenging. And yet, also very compelling television. Like on a week-to-week, we watched the most recent episode last night and yeah, like I'm in. I'm still in. I'm totally in. I'm hoping they stick the landing.
Interesting enough, I believe Alan Moore, who was the author of the comic book, has not put his name or said anything about the television show, whereas Damon Lindelof, who is the executive producer showrunner for the Watchmen TV show, is a ginormous Alan Moore fan.
So Alan Moore has specifically refused to take any money from or put his name on any adaptation of his work since like the early 2000s, at least. So when they made the film version of Watchmen, his name wasn't on it and he didn't make any money from it. When they made V for Vendetta, he didn't make any money from it and his name wasn't on it, specifically by his request. I read a quote the other day that he says there's a certain amount of power in it of saying that I don't have a price. You know, that I don't agree with this, and you can't pay me any amount of money to put my stamp on it. But boy, he's a weird fellow. Anyway, yeah. That's neither here nor there. Let's look at this list. Were there any surprises for you on the Spotify list, Jay?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the thing about the originals, because the originals do dominate their list. They only give us five, which I also think is interesting that they didn't give us a more complete list or a top 25 like Apple did. Only five, and this is global. So you mentioned that there's the German show. There's two of the top five are German shows. So unless you know German, they're probably of no interest to you that are listening to this particular podcast. My Favorite Murder and the Misfits podcast. Misfits comes in at number 5. And now that also explains why the Misfits was recommended to me when I was talking about my recommendation list from Spotify. Hot Pod. This week, Nick Kwa's partner, Carolyn, wrote an interesting article about discovery and how we all eschew discovery from a machine algorithm, but we also eschew all these lists that we're about to get inundated with that are obviously human curated. And there's got to be somewhere in the middle that those two can meet. And yet, how do you make an algorithm meet a human's bias somewhere in the middle? It doesn't compute. Again, there isn't a discovery problem. There's a discovery of your podcast problem.
Interestingly, Jay, both of those German shows that you mentioned that are in the top 5 of the most streamed podcast, they're both Spotify originals as well. Those are exclusive shows, just like the Joe Budden podcast. So at least 3 of the top 5 streamed shows on Spotify are Spotify originals. And again, that's not surprising to me.
I'm glad it was surprising to me, but now that you've explained it, it makes total sense. By the way, the number one streamed album is Billie Eilish, who doesn't know who Van Halen is, which is a crying shame.
You gotta jump.
Yeah, really, Billie.
You might as well jump. Jay, our next article here, this is from Pod News. Let's talk about Maximum Media. This is an interesting one. Maximum Media is the owner of an Irish publisher, Joe.ie, and they have been accused of using ClickFarms to grow the figures for their weekly business podcast. The capital B is the name of the show. And guess where it's hosted, Jay? SoundCloud.
As James put it, there was an anonymous video that claimed that the figures jumped by many thousands of plays overnight and showed the evidence of the SoundCloud users and how they were fake. The founder of Ireland's largest media agency, Niall McGarry, has left the Irish business to focus on the company's business in the UK. Interesting. And ad agencies are calling for more granular data to help spot click fraud. James also notes that Maximum Media is on the IAB's Publisher Council in Ireland. However, they use SoundCloud, which is not IAB compliant. That is very interesting. Another way that you can just game the system.
Well, and not just that it's not IAB compliant, because you and I both are friends with and have long-term relationships with media hosts, podcast media hosts that are still not IAB certified yet. But we know that those companies, the ones that are good podcasting companies, have all angled themselves in that direction and are working in their own way to reach a closer standard that we can all agree on and be happy with. And maybe they haven't gone through the certification process. Maybe they don't even have the money or plans to go through the certification process. But again, they're triangulating based on the IAB. That is not what SoundCloud is doing. SoundCloud is not interested in that. They don't seem, and honestly, we have said before and we'll say again, SoundCloud doesn't have any long-term interest in podcasters. They have a short-term financial interest in podcasters. You are keeping them afloat by hosting your media with them. Stop doing it, please. If you have ads in your show, if you're a media company, for God's sake, and you're hosting your show on SoundCloud, there is zero excuse. And I hope that this starts an international run on anybody that is paying for advertising on a show that is hosted with SoundCloud. You ought to stop until that is corrected and the shows are moved.
And you'd have to be, if you are SoundCloud, you have to be looking at what Spotify is doing and going, oh, that's how we should be doing it. Like, I mean, hello?
SoundCloud could have done this. They could have done this 4 years ago, honestly, Jay, four or five years ago, when Kevin Smith and a rash of other podcasters got their big free hosting deals from SoundCloud, and they all moved their shows over there when SoundCloud was first going to offer the podcaster package. At that point, SoundCloud could have said, you know what, we're going to make a run at iTunes. We want to be the main media host. We want to be the main podcast directory. We've got this awesome player that everybody loves. Everybody wants to embed their player everywhere. We've got this cool commenting system, so you can comment at any point during a file. How much would podcasters have loved that for the past 4 or 5 years, Jay? SoundCloud already had the answer to posting audio directly in Twitter and Facebook. It was working back then. They could have leaned in, made those deals, and said to Facebook and Twitter, we can be your standard audio answer. You don't have to build it out. Let us partner with you. And we're going to have all these great podcast shows, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the decision they made. They made a short-term decision to cash out on us and to continue sucking off of the podcast industry to keep their media business afloat. They wanted to be Spotify in music streaming, but they didn't even consider this podcast business. And now look, years later, that's what Spotify realizes is the future of their music streaming business, is podcasting. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent here. But yeah, shame on SoundCloud and shame on anybody that's using SoundCloud, honestly.
Yeah, I can't say anything other than that. I mean, the only other thing is that I'll add to this particular story is if you think that this gaming of the system is contained to one little Irish publisher, you are very naive. And I don't have any inside knowledge. I don't know anything about things that are going on anywhere else. As you mentioned, we have numerous friends in numerous places, but I know nothing about this, but I just know that there is gaming of the system happening because that's what happens, right? People get greedy. People want to make more money, and they do what they have to do to get the money.
Well, what the saying of baseball is, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Right.
I mean, I think there is definitely that attitude in the business world. And I know that there are some of those folks in our industry as well. I don't think that is the dominant feeling or opinion or attitude. I do think that most of these companies are in it for the right reasons. They see an opportunity to carve out a nice business model while serving customers and expanding this medium and growing our ability to speak to one another. And they're doing it for the right reasons. I see a lot of other companies that are in here as a cash grab and are in it for short-term gain and are not playing the long-term slow growth route. So anyway, be careful. Be careful who you host with. As a matter of fact, Jay, and we've talked about this before, I am working on a blog post about things to look for when you change your media host. But before that, it occurs to me, last week or 2 weeks ago, we did the article about what makes a good host. I was thinking it was a media host. It was actually the podcast host, right? I'm going to do that article. I'm going to write that blog post. What makes a good media host? What do we mean when we say that Libsyn is a good media host? When we say that Captivate is a good media host? What are the checkboxes that you and I and others like us in the podcast industry are looking for when we evaluate a new entrant to say, yeah, that's a pretty cool idea and I like the way that they're doing business. Maybe I'll host with them, maybe I won't, but I like the way that they're doing business. What do we mean when we say that's a good media host? We'll talk about that next week. Jay, before we get to our next article, let's go to our first sponsor here. We're brought to you by the Sleep With Me podcast. This episode, as all the episodes until the end of the year, are brought to you by Andrew Ackerman and the Sleep With Me podcast. By the way, Drew was just named as the first speaker for PodFest 2019. Congratulations.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Drew doesn't want us to talk about him, though. He doesn't want us to talk about his show. He wants us to talk about the strange history of Pogs.
I'd much rather.
So I did a little bit more research, by the way. I've always, my line has been Pogs milk caps, now called Pogs, was a fad that started in Hawaii and spread to California. But Jay, it's even more ancient than that. It's actually based on a card game that goes all the way back to like 17th century Japan. And then it was modified by the Hawaiians into this milk cap game because they couldn't get the proper pieces apparently. And so that's what we have now, turned it into. My Pogs blog that I'm sharing with you today, and Jay, I sent you the image earlier. There is an interesting storyline, and I'm not going to get into all of it today, but I might put a link in the show notes. There's an interesting storyline that happened over the word POG. There was a group that decided that POG was something that they were going to brand and copyright and trademark, et cetera, et cetera. This is POG Man, their official mascot. And then there was a lot of discussion about whether or not POG
was supposed to be a man.
I think it's like
looks like a cat.
Do you remember Captain Caveman?
Oh, I love Captain Caveman, but Caveman looks nothing like this.
No, see, I feel like this is like somebody was like, you know what we ought to do? I wish Captain Caveman could be our mascot, and they were like, well, we can't. Captain Caveman.
Captain
owned by somebody else.
Caveman.
Exactly.
And son.
Those are my favorite. I like the original Captain Caveman when he had the girl sidekicks, the three teenage girl sidekicks. But Captain Caveman and Son was a more lengthy episode to me. It was better. Anyway, I love Pogman too. I love this character design. They put him in all sorts of scenarios. I've got a couple of more that I'll share with you over the next couple of weeks, maybe. But he was sort of caught up in this legal fight over whether POG was a generic term or a brandable term, et cetera, et cetera. So check out the show notes for the story on that. Also check out the show notes for the image of POG Man himself, so you're not going to miss out on that. And honestly, if you were a kid in the 80s or 90s, I know you know what I'm talking about. Go click these links and fall down the rabbit hole. Remind yourself what a joy the world of POGs was.
No, let's go back down the Captain Caveman rabbit hole, because you did just bring up the fact that he hung out with these three hot teenage cartoon chicks.
Yeah, was in the 70s, right?
Right, yeah, of course. And then later on, the reason why I loved the Captain Caveman and Son was just the difference between Captain Caveman would go loud and boisterous, and then all of a sudden
wasn't the Son really intelligent? He wasn't a blumbering.
Yes,
correct.
But he looked just like Captain Caveman. There was no mention of mom. There was no Captain Cave mom. Which of the three teenage girls? You're saying
love child.
I'm just saying, one. It was the 70s, you know.
That's the Hanna-Barbera episode I want to see.
It was the 70s. I'm just saying.
Mom was like, look.
There had to be a mom.
It's our child and I love it. But also, it looks like you. I can't take this anywhere.
Unless he was born of an egg, which I wouldn't be surprised. Because that's one of the things that Hanna-Barbera was popular for. There'd be this egg and then out would pop this little kid, and now all of a sudden it's their son or daughter.
Really?
That happens in every cartoon. That is so tropish, it's not even funny.
I love so many of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons from that time period, Captain Caveman chief among them. So maybe that is all of my affiliation and affection for Pog Man here.
Where's the Hanna-Barbera Plus? Where's that streaming platform?
Boomerang. So you need, it's like $4.99 a month or $6.99 a month, I think. And it's a spinoff of Cartoon Network, but they've got access to all the old Hanna-Barbera
on demand.
Yes.
Oh,
you can stream it on demand. It's an app, the whole nine yards. They've got Scooby-Doo. They got Captain Caveman. They Flintstones and the Jetsons and all that stuff. By the way, the Jetsons.
See, we're going down so many roads. Have you seen the trailer for the new Scooby-Doo movie? It looks awful.
No, I haven't. There's a new Scooby-Doo?
An origin. It's the origin of the Scooby gang, and it's horrible because it completely changes the characters. It's bad.
Uh-oh. They don't change his name, right? It's Scoobert Doobert.
Oh, no, it's Scooby-Doo, but Scooby talks. Like, Scooby doesn't really talk in the cartoons. Every now and then he'll go, ruh-roh, ruh-roh,
yeah,
Shaggy.
He does ruh-roh, Shaggy. He's
got dialogue. He's got lines of dialogue in this new movie.
Uh-oh, I got to go watch the trailer now.
No,
all right.
It's bad.
Jay, let's move to our
Angry
next
Jay show.
That's story. Yeah, let's tone down the Angry show. Jay. Let's go back to something good for you and your show. Tell me about Pandora. So you got your show into Pandora.
Woohoo! I'm one of the few. I don't know if I'm one of the few. I know that they've opened up. You can go and apply. There's a link that you can get. It's not currently in our show notes. Maybe Joel will be nice enough to find it for you and
yeah,
put
I'm
it
sure
there.
I'll put that in.
But yeah, I applied. I'm in Pandora. I'm getting numbers from Pandora now. Yay. But the reason why I bring up Pandora is because Pandora is a company much like Spotify that is trying to get into the podcasting game, and they are taking their sweet ever loving time to get there. Now, why are they taking their time? You could argue that they want to make sure that they do it right. You can make sure that they want to do something innovative for the space. You could argue that they're probably waiting until they know they can make money from it, for sure. Spotify's got a completely different business model when it comes to podcasting at this particular point, right? Spotify's whole deal is, let's get the non-music listeners into our app. One, because they're more likely to become subscribers. They've seen the data there, although they don't believe the data that they've seen so far in regards to how many of those people are converting. And also, the more people listen to the podcast, the less we have to pay in music licensing fees because they're not listening to the music. That's Spotify's whole deal, and that's how they're making money so far. They will be monetizing these with ads. It's only a matter of time. Pandora is definitely looking into ads. They already have a deal with a company called A Million Little Ads that does targeting ads to the nth degree. And they've been doing that on their music stuff already. So they're just going to bring that technology into the podcasts. They're very much into monetizing on Pandora. But research coming from Pandora now regarding audio ads. And frankly, it's all about what makes an effective audio ad. But you can take this information and you can apply it to your podcast, and specifically to the beginning of your podcast. I feel like, you know, we talk about this a lot, but we don't really show research behind it. This is an entire, it's very long. They have audio that you can listen to that highlights some of the things that they're going to talk about, but you can apply this directly to the tease of your podcast and how you can get more listeners to listen to your podcast. Now you can make better content. They talk about the brand placement in the ad. Turns out, if you have the brand placement at the end of your ad, as opposed to the beginning of your ad, it actually is more effective to have it at the beginning of your ad. So within the first like 3 seconds, you should be mentioning the brand of your that you're advertising for. Similarly, on your podcast, within the first 3 seconds, you should mention your brand, your podcast.
You know, the classic, this happens more in TV commercials, I feel like, than audio commercials. But I've heard some radio commercials, especially, that are the same way. The classic thing where you get to the end of this 30-second commercial or minute-long commercial, and you're like, what the hell are they selling me? What is this? What is this an ad for? And then finally, there's like a logo at the end. You're like, that was for suitcases? Samsonite? What? How was that a Samsonite ad? Oh, there was a
what about piece the of luggage Apple in the first one or right whatever. Now. Yeah.
Oh, the Apple ad about creativity with the, you're talking about the one from last holiday season where she makes all of the things and it's a Mac ad, but like I don't think there's an Apple there's a laptop at some point in the ad, but that's like it.
There's one now for I think it's for iPads, but it's more than just the iPad, but it's similar vein, like grandma has died, grandpa misses grandma. The kids go, what can we get grandpa for Christmas? They create this lovely like movie card remembering grandma. Total tearjerker, by the way. You watch this and you're like, oh my God. Because grandpa actually starts crying in the commercial too. And it's all about Apple and being creative. And you're just sort of like, whew. It certainly hits you. But Apple is never mentioned until the very end. And actually Apple, the name Apple, never, ever, ever shows up in the commercial.
Yeah, it's just the logo. So you can do that if you are literally the largest brand in the world. I mean, Apple is the most recognized brand in the world. That's what they currently have going for them. It's the reason why, by the way, they don't make products anymore that start with I. They make products, if you've noticed, all their latest stuff starts with Apple. Why? Mm-hmm. Or it has the logo in it. Because they are the number one recognized brand of the world. You lean into that. But you and I and our podcast are not the number one recognized brands in the world. We're not the number one recognized podcast in the world. So we have to stamp it early and often. What are you listening to? What is this? What are we doing?
Although at some point there is research based on this ad that it doesn't matter how many times you mention the ad. It doesn't increase the actual recognition of the brand name. So it's just, you just go by feel at that point. Like how many times is too many times to mention the name of your brand? Music, using music in the ad, This mentions that the idea behind the product is that it feels good. The music that they used was from country, and it made people feel good. Keep the music bed authentic to the brand. Continuing with that feel-good emotions, you definitely want to emote. This goes to my three E's thing that I've talked about great podcasts and how can you tell what's a great podcast. It entertains, it educates, evokes emotion. So you definitely want to make sure that you have emotion involved in whatever it is that you're doing, whether that's comedy, it's sadness, it's, anything, any emotion that you can think of. Build it into your podcast. If you're a sports podcast, remember, you're talking about a game. Have fun. And you can still have fun and educate people at the same time. That's not, those two things don't have to, be separate. The gender voiceover, there's been a long-standing research into this that people prefer female voiceovers over male voiceovers. So if you're looking for someone to be, sorry, Joel, if you're looking for people to be the voice of your podcast, you might want to look into having a female do that for you because, I'm going to guess it has something to do with the mommy factor. You know, people love mommy more than they love daddy. That's just, that's a Freudian thing. The number of brand mentions, we already brought that up. Doesn't matter how many you have. The tone of your podcast. Do you want one with more energy and an upbeat tone? Will it get better results than a slower paced one? And just like the good emotions, you definitely want to make sure that you are full of energy when you're producing the beginning of your podcast. Bring all that energy. Don't lose it either. Like, don't come in hot and then die off and then come back up. Like, that's something that you'll find with a lot of podcasters. As the length of a show goes on, their energy sort of dies off. As your energy starts to die off, guess what else will die off? Your listeners. Keep that energy high. If you're going to be Angry Jay, and this episode is called Angry Jay, you better be angry the entire show. Not really angry right now, but I'm trying to highlight that point. Anyway, that lots more things that you can look into with much more detail with this particular article. It's very interesting, and obviously you can take all of these things that they're talking about specifically with an ad, and maybe you want to make an ad for your podcast that you have on other people's show. Most people call those a promo. You want to follow these sort of same steps. You want to make sure that your brand mention comes early, you have high energy, you're invoking good emotions out of the people. They have a feel-good feeling about this particular item that you're talking about, this particular show that you're talking about. And even if you don't, let's say you're talking about something like your true crime, right? And you're talking about something serious and something that would not evoke high emotion. You're talking about a death, and you need to deal with that in a somber manner. You can still present that information in a way that is respectful, that doesn't necessarily have to bring it to a crashing halt. Like, you just don't have to, if your energy isn't there, your audience isn't going to be there with you.
I 100% agree with you. It's a really good article. I was not expecting much actually, actionable information for the average podcaster, but that you're right. There's a lot of takeaways that we can apply to our shows, not just advertisements.
You know, there was another article this week. I didn't include it in our notes. We've discussed it before in the past about the streaming platforms and where they are in terms of listens. Spotify has taken themselves out of the Triton Ranker, which is where I was getting the information from. Pandora is losing listeners at this particular point in time. They're still, after Spotify, it goes to Pandora, but it's a jump. It's a big jump down. And Pandora continues to lose listeners, while iHeartRadio is a distant third, followed by Radio.com, Cumulus, and a couple other streamers. They're all flat. So iHeart is flat. All the other digital streaming places are flat. I know Radio.com has currently been making a play in podcasts. They're going to see if that's going to help them out at any point. I have a feeling they're not, because much like you mentioned before, Joel, when it comes to podcasting, if you're already into a podcast, you're not necessarily going to change your platform to go listen to that podcast. If you're going to listen to that podcast on Apple, it's not like you're necessarily going to change your behaviors to go listen to it on Spotify, unless you're given a reason to. I don't think radio.com has come to that point yet, even though a lot of the podcasts that would now be featured on radio.com originally, you know, are part of radio stations that I don't know where I was trying to go with that. But my point was, I don't necessarily think those platforms have an opportunity to grow like Spotify has. Pandora does, but they better get in the game quick because they are quickly losing out on time.
Well, I wonder, what can Pandora do without fundamentally changing their model, which is a lean back, you know, we're going to send you audio effectively, right? It's not, Spotify is a streaming system, just like we think about Netflix. You go and you pick the thing that you want and you play it. And maybe those are arranged or organized into playlists. Maybe those playlists are even algorithmically created, but they're not just shoving music at you, which is exactly what Pandora does, and it's what it's known for. I don't think that fits very well for the average person who wants to listen to music. I think there's sort of a limit without a fundamental change to what Pandora is on what their audience could be. And meanwhile, many of their current users are finding themselves better served, I think, by moving over to Spotify, especially now with the introduction of podcasts there as well and the full adoption of the podcast ecosystem there. Anyway, interesting stuff. And Jay, yes, I did find the link. It's in the show notes. If you want to get your show into Pandora, that link is right below the article about what makes an effective audio ad in the show notes. So just click there or go see them at alwayslisteningpod.com. One more story today, Jay, and then we'll wrap up. So this is something that I literally didn't know was a thing this morning. And as I'm doing the prep for this episode, a friend of mine shared this change petition. It's a change.org petition. She shared this on Facebook. And I was like, well, that's an interesting. I just read the headline at the time. And so I clicked through to read the article. And the more that I thought about it, I was like, yeah, this makes perfect sense. I kind of can't believe that it's still a thing. And it's, I think, a good example of how, as a guy, I don't think about these things. You know, it comes from a position of privilege, and I sort of overlooked it. But I do think it matters. I do think it's worth sharing. I do think it's worth talking about a little bit here this morning before we wrap up. So the link is in the show notes, but here's the headline: Change gendered and slavery-derived terms in the audio industry. You're like, what are you talking about? Gendered terms in the audio industry? The audio industry uses horribly outdated terms to refer to connector types and to clocking roles in digital audio devices. Using metaphorical language rather than clear descriptive language isn't the most logical way to describe these functions anyway, and perpetuates gender and race-based stereotypes that don't make for an inclusive audio industry environment. We've talked about for a long time the fact that podcasting, just as radio, is male-dominated. That is beginning to change. But maybe this is one of those subtle reasons that bumbles up, you know, in the, or maybe it's a subtle cause of having a male dominated industry. I don't know. This change proposes that instead of male and female connectors, and they show examples, an XLR cable here. You talk about the male XLR end and the female XLR end. He says this is a set of terms representing heteronormative sexual relations and a metaphorical rather than literal description of what the connectors do. And the proposal is that we use plug and socket instead, which are terms that are used in other industries. He also proposes that instead of master and slave for clock sources and recipients. So this is used, you've got a master clock and a slave device. All of your other audio devices sync to the clock on the one device so that you don't get audio drift across multiple audio devices that are connected to each other. That's the terminology that's used. He says this obviously references one of the greatest human injustices in history, and again, are metaphorical rather than literal terms. The suggestion is that we adopt the term send and receive. So clock sources are literally being sent from the main send to our send computer and received by all the others. I like both of those. The idea is to make our industry more logical and less exclusive. Add your voice to this petition, which we will circulate to manufacturers around the world. And apparently there's a little bit of discussion about the proposed alternate terms, but in general, the responses on the post have been positive about changing the current terms. And I'm all for it. I had never really thought about it like that. I think the very first time that somebody told me this is the master computer and that's the slave computer, I did think, well, that's a weird terminology to use in the 90s or whatever. But, the second or third time you hear it, you sort of, you blow right past it. You just normalize language. And that's what the point of this petition is to not normalize it, to actually say, hey, we could get better terms. And the next generation of audio professionals don't have to be immune to thinking that those terms are strange or not appropriate for an industry like our own. Interesting idea, and I had never considered it. So there it is in the show notes for you to consider as well. I signed this morning.
I will say that any sort of reference to slavery does seem a little off. That said, in terms of master and slave, I do think there's still, I mean, we've talked about this before, about changing vocabulary and things that are just learned, they become habit. And I'm not saying that it makes it right, but what I am saying is there's a reason why there is a master computer, because it is mastering all of the others. It's probably wrong to call the other computer slaves. Let's get that sort of terminology out of our language. Absolutely. Servant. I've heard them oftentimes called as servants instead of slaves, which I think makes a lot more sense. Getting rid of the like send and receive, I would get that confused immediately. I've always had, in regards to audio connectors, I've always confused male and female anyway, because even on the female end, there are three pointers that I've always like, well, those are male things. Those aren't holes. And then on the male plug, of which I would assume would be the plug, right? Yeah, the male side would be the plug. There are the three holes for the three pointer things in the females. To me, calling it male and female, again, it just seems to make sense. I think we overblow that. Now, is it a subtle thing that could be cause to lots of other things? Perhaps. I think that one's a little bit more overblown. I think master and slave is definitely something we should get rid of. The male and female thing, I think it's an easy way to describe something that makes it, you know, easy. Like, I can teach my 2-year-old, use the male end to put it into the female end.
Well, you say that, but you yourself also said it's a little confusing terminology to you, because they both have inherently both of the...
Sure. The, when we're talking about audio speaker the cables that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. These XLR cables specifically. Yeah. Anyway. Strange, strange, strange. All right. Yeah. Anyway, check out that petition, see what you think about it, and sign it if you're interested. Again, I appreciate my friend for sharing that this morning. It's just not something that I'd ever really considered. And that's what we need. We need people to raise questions. It's one of the reasons why I want diversity in our industry, because there are issues, there are questions, there are concerns, there are possibilities that you and I just won't ever see. And so we need people from different experiences, absolutely, different backgrounds, different ways of thinking to approach the industry and expose us to those. All right. Until next week, Jay, where can everybody get in touch with you if they would like to reach out?
Especially you college sports podcasters. I would love to talk to you, Podvader at LockedOnPodcasts.com, where we now have over 8 million downloads a month, Joel. It's 140 podcasts get that 8 million downloads a month, and they are all podcasting Monday through Friday, but it's a huge number. We're very proud of that number, and we want more people to listen, and we would love to have you be a part of our growing little company. So if you're a college sports podcaster, Podvader at LockedOnPodcasts.com or on Twitter at TheRealPodvader.
And you can find me at propodcastingservices.com or on Twitter at The Rogue's Life or podcasting_pro. That's my business account. Until next week, we've been your hosts. I'm Joel.
I'm Jay. Not as angry as I was at the beginning of the show, but
that's
I'm
your
always
secret,
angry.
Jay. And we are always listening.
Yeah, I know I ain't seen it all, but I've seen enough.
Always Listening is a proud member of the Two Guys and a Rogue Network. You can find all of our past episodes, including more than 100 podcast reviews, at alwayslisteningpod.com, in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. For help on your podcast, visit propodcastingservices.com. Our theme song is Enough from Bethany Rayburn.
Two guys and a rogue.
I'm one guy.
I'm the other.
And this is the network.